This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. Hi, everybody. Coming up in this hour of America Tonight, we got some great conversations that are going to happen with some terrific guests, including Pradeep Berry. Imagine coming to the United States with $7 in your pocket and then making the most of it and meeting an American woman, starting an incredible life. And it's an amazing love story that he's written, a book called My Connie. But he started off working in a sandwich shop across from Second City. And then Delatora McNeil joins us, one of my pals, who is a guy that believes everybody should learn how to speak in public, because they say, you know, that taxes and speaking in public are the two things, and death, that people fear, I guess, the three things, right? Taxes, death, and speaking in public is right up there. Nobody wants to do that. No, don't make me speak. No. So anyway, he is tremendous, and he's going to join us for our Forbes Books at Bedtime segment. And then we're going to have a mailbag mixed in here, too, because you have, once again, overwhelmed me with the amount of mail that you've sent in. So we're going to make sure that we get to you, and, yeah, that other guy in the back. And that'll be fun, too. So a lot coming up on this hour of America Tonight. But right from the get-go, coming up next week, as we know, the president is going to Japan and also South Korea. There's a lot of questions about North Korea. And will he visit the DMZ? Will he be there at that line, somewhere near that? And there's no answer to that question yet at this point. We haven't heard the answer to that. So we don't know. It'll unfold as it unfolds, unless we get word somehow a little bit sooner. In the meantime, there still are questions about this convoy that was separated during that ambush in Niger. And it's so sad because those four soldiers were killed, and there were 12 Green Beret-led teams. They were ambushed by ISIS militants this month. They just became separated. They were traveling with Nigerian soldiers when they were attacked by about 50, and this is what was known before, 50 ISIS-affiliated fighters armed with rocket-propelled grenades. We knew they had that. But 50 of them, mortars, heavy machine guns, so they were just sitting ducks. They were outnumbered and just, despite being outnumbered and outgunned, the Nigerian force had only rifles. So they managed to kill 20 ISIS guys during that horrific attack. But they didn't have the firepower. It lasted for hours. 5 Nigerian soldiers, by the way, were also killed in that. So they're talking about this convoy that was separated and how that happened, and then how the body of the one sergeant became separated from the rest of the team. And boy, oh boy, just a scary, sad, awful ending for these brave men, of course, knowing that the situations can get really hairy there. But they were trying to get more of the details on what it was. They were driving, we already knew this, in unarmored pickup trucks, which isn't uncommon for Green Beret-led military advisors to not wear body armor when they're, you know, accompanying the host nation forces in low-threat areas. So that's the other part of this question that's being discussed. And you'd think, gosh, low-threat areas, it just doesn't seem that way to me. But overall, when you look at the map and where they were headed, that's exactly what they believed. And that would made them the perfect target for the ISIS scumbags, because, of course, they're going to pick them off there. If you're going to go after somebody, if you're going to go after a convoy, you're going to find them there. You're going to find them in the place where they're the most vulnerable. And obviously they knew the route. They knew what was happening. They had to have known something. And that's what they that's what they did. They picked him off. They knew it. JFK and conspiracy theories. I live not too far from where Kennedy was killed. I did not grow up in the area, but I don't live too far from it. And boy, there's conspiracy theories all over the place outside of the book depository where he was going by and then, of course, was killed all those many years ago. Well, the CIA mulled through mafia hits on Cuban President Fidel Castro. Someone called the FBI threatening to kill Lee Harvey Oswald the day before Oswald's murder. There's all kinds of things. There's all kinds of assertions and stories and everything else. So there's this 25-year deadline in the making. The National Archives on Thursday evening released a bunch of JFK files, but President Trump blocked the release of some documents, at least temporarily, citing national security concerns, leaving researchers, conspiracy theorists, and onlookers who were waiting for this to sift through what was there, but are not excited that they didn't get their hands on everything. Now, what was there includes a 1975 document from the Rockefeller Commission detailing the CIA's role in foreign assassinations, and the plans to assassinate Castro were underway in the early days of the Kennedy administration. The report said Attorney General Robert Kennedy, the president's brother, told the FBI he learned the CIA had an intermediary to approach Sam Giancana with a proposition of paying $150,000 to hire some gunman to go to Cuba and kill Castro. That's always been asserted that that might have been what happened. There was a document from 1963. That showed FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover addressing the death of Oswald at the hands of Jack Ruby, where he says there's nothing further on the Oswald case except he's dead. So that would be November 24th, 1963. And, you know, there were plane parts. So there was a National Security Council document from 1962, before Kennedy was assassinated, that referenced Operation Mongoose, which was a covert attempt to topple communism in Cuba. And in the 3 minutes of a secret meeting on Operation Mongoose, General Marshall Carter said the CIA would examine the possibilities of sabotaging airplane parts, which were scheduled to be shipped from Canada to Cuba. And then I'll just give you one more. There was a top secret document from 1975 for the Rockefeller Commission outlining the testimony of former CIA Director Richard Helms. And in that transcript, Helms said he thought former President Richard Nixon believed the CIA was responsible for the death of the South Vietnamese president who died following a coup linked to the CIA. So some interesting documents that, again, a lot of people were very, very curious to see and to learn more details, especially anything to do with the Kennedy assassination and what was hidden and what isn't hidden and what is believed to have happened. And again, when you talk about conspiracy theories, it doesn't get much bigger than the Kennedy assassination. Were there more gunmen? Were there more people that were involved in other areas who wanted to have their sights on Kennedy? And the list goes on and on and on. All right, stay with us. Coming up next, Prod Deep Theory is coming up. Also, Delatora McNeil. And we're going to hit the mailbag here on America Tonight.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Recently, Warren Buffett has officially gone on record to say that his public speaking course was probably the greatest business class he ever took. So today, we're going to talk with a presentation skills expert who also happens to be a top-ranked peak performance expert, Delatora McNeil, about how we can take our public speaking and presentation skills to the next level. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't need that? Delatora, thanks so much for joining us.
Kate and George, thanks so much for having me. It's a tremendous honor to be with you today.
So tell us a little bit about your journey that's led you to this place of being a top speaker and also obviously a speaker trainer.
You know, this has actually been a pretty long journey for me. I started when I was 4 or 5 years old. My mom was an English teacher. She was a Sunday school teacher. So if you were going to be Olivia's son, you had to be articulate. You had to speak. So I remember getting the longest parts in the Easter play and Christmas play and all kinds of things. And so my mom raised me to be articulate. Now, I asked her years later when I became a speaker, did she know that she was raising a professional speaker? And she said, I have no clue, baby. But I give a lot of credit and honor to my mom because she was way more than a parent. She was my first mentor. And I was able to go on to do pretty good in school. I went to Florida State University. I got a bachelor's and master's degree in 5 years with a 4.0 with zero student loan debt. And I learned in college that I had leadership capabilities. And as a result of being a student leader in college, I had to do a lot of public speaking. For orientation, for residence life, for a lot of different organizations I was a member of, I had to do a lot of public speaking. And so my mentor in college was a guy by the name of Dr. Lee Jones, and he told me to get involved in Toastmasters. So interestingly enough, Kate, I became a member of Toastmasters in graduate school in college. And I started going to weekly meetings, and I kept winning the Best Speaker Award. And I'm like, man, this is pretty cool. And so I knew one day that I wanted to be a speaker, but I'm like, I have to have a career in something first. So I came out of college and took a career working for Anderson, which is a big peak performance consulting organization. Worked there for 1 year, and that didn't work out. So I took a job at the University of South Florida, and I worked there for 2 years teaching public speaking. And I was like, man, this is what I'm supposed to do. So I taught at the university for 2 years. And in 2003, I left the university and went full-time as a speaker. And I've been full-time ever since, and I've had a chance to give over 3,000 1,000 paid presentations all around the world. I was inducted as a CSP, the Certified Speaking Professional designation. I'm one of the youngest in the world to earn that at the age of 33 when I got it. And I had a chance to just, I've created my own inspirational business reality television show called The Keynote. And this year, I was the opening keynote speaker for the Toastmasters World Convention in British Columbia, Vancouver, Canada. So we've done a tremendous amount in the area of public speaking and presentation. And year to date, we've literally personally mentored over 300 C-suite executives, speakers, authors, and entrepreneurs, and helped them get a fast start in the professional speaking industry.
You know, it's interesting, Del Toro, when I hear you speak about how you got to where you are today. I mean, it's always interesting to hear where people get their quote-unquote big break. And your big break came, it sounds like, from an organization that anybody can join today, which is Toastmasters. And just as an aside, I have to tell the both of you how significant the role of Toastmasters has been in my life. I was a Toastmaster for a lot of years. I think I do well in the medium of radio because of it. There's a thing called table topics where you get put on the spot and you have to speak, you know, extemporaneously or spontaneously, which is what we're doing right now, right? But I just want to share with you guys one other thing that came out of a visit I had with I was visiting some friends in a city. They were Toastmasters. I went to their Toastmasters club. And I fell in love, love at first sight, with a woman in their club, and she's now my wife. So if you've ever thought about going to a Toastmasters club to make a dramatic change in your life, I think between the two of us, we can say great things can happen there if you just show up.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what? Warren Buffett agrees with you, because he actually requires all of his top business students to take a Toastmasters international course. So it's really, really remarkable. It's so funny, Greg, that you mentioned that. And that's a powerful story. I actually had a cinematographer follow me around at the World Convention, because it was 20 years later, after joining Toastmasters in college, that I had a chance to be the opening keynote for the World Convention and speak to Toastmasters from all over the world, from 120 countries. It was remarkable. So we captured that, and we're working on a documentary right now. But I firmly believe that any business professional who wants to take their presentation skills to the next level really needs to spend a little time in a Toastmasters course, because it's a great organization to help you polish your public speaking and presentation skills.
Del Toro, of all the people, because you talked about this, you talked about the C-suite, the 300 C-suite people that you've really mentored, let's face it, and took them through that journey, and so many other people that you've influenced on this speaking path and teaching them presentation, you know, how to have these powerful presentations. What do you find people are the most intimidated about when you first deal with them in any of the classes or any of the retreats or anything that you hold?
It's a remarkable question, Kate. And the number one thing, if people say they have, because you gotta realize, public speaking is the number one fear in America, Canada, and other parts of the world. But what I've learned and realized, and this is so powerful, I've never read this in a book, I firmly believe this. People don't have a fear of public speaking. They have a fear of other fears associated to public speaking. So in other words, people have a fear of being judged. People have a fear of being critiqued. People have a fear of not looking good. People have a fear of not sounding good. People have a fear of their own voice. People have a fear of too many eyeballs out. People have a fear of their PowerPoint going down. People have a fear of technology failing them. What I've realized is that most people, when I ask them, I say, what are you really afraid of when it comes to giving your presentation? Well, I just don't want to look bad. I don't want to sound bad. I don't want people to like my outfit. I don't want my technology to not work. So it's not a fear of public speaking. It's really, that is a blanket for like 20 other fears that people have that they kind of disguise as public speaking. And so what I help people understand is that they need to replace the word "I'm nervous" with this. You have a healthy anticipation of an incredible outcome. I guarantee you, if you begin to start to say, you know what, instead of saying, oh my gosh, those feelings I get in my stomach are nerves and I'm nervous. No, say, you know what, I'm excited, I'm pumped, I'm charged. I have a healthy anticipation of an incredible outcome. I'm getting ready to rock this presentation. And if you say that to yourself, you look in the mirror and say, I am incredible. I know my material. I know my content. I'm getting ready to go serve this audience, and they are going to get a massive amount of value out of what I have to share. When you come from that place, attitude is everything. I guarantee you, you'll present better.
We're talking with Del Toro L. McNeil. He's ranked one of the best motivational speakers in the world. And Del Toro, I want to ask you this really important question to follow up on what you just said, which is, you know, what is the cost to me if I don't do what it takes to become a better speaker. How does it impact my career? How does it impact my ability, if I'm a manager, to manage my people, to move up? And, you know, if you look at my story, it might even be impacting your personal life. I met my wife at a Toastmasters club. What are the costs of not doing what you're suggesting?
The costs are astronomical, and that's an incredible question, Greg, because here's what I firmly believe. There is a massive misconception in the business marketplace that I want to correct in this interview. Most times when I ask people, do they need to work on their public speaking and presentation skills, they say, yes, I do. But they automatically followed up with, but I don't want to be a Les Brown. I don't see myself as a Tony Robbins. I don't see myself as a Kate Delaney. I don't see myself as a Maya Angelou. I don't see myself as Oprah. And what they don't understand is that they're confusing the industry with the skill set. And you can't confuse the industry with the skill set. The truth is public speaking and presentation is a skill. Just like negotiation is a skill. Leadership is a skill. Project management is a skill, right? Networking is a skill. Public speaking is a skill. And so if you choose to not develop the skill, it has astronomical impacts on your career, because the truth is people that have strong presentation skills earn 65% more than those that don't. Studies also let us know that you're more promotable. You are more recession-proof. You're more cross-trainable if you have the ability to be the one to give the sales presentation, to give the summary of the meeting, to give the analysis of the activity, to be the one to rally the team. If you are the one in your organization that can give the presentation, you're seen as more credible, more confident, more valuable to the organization. And the truth is, even in everyday life, whether we're parents, whether we're dating, whether we're on Facebook Live, whether we're on Twitter, whether we're on Instagram, we're all doing public speaking every single day, whether you're in front of an audience of one or whether you're in front of an audience of 100,000. It does not matter. Every day we're using the skill, whether we realize it or not. When you go into the post office and you ask for your package to be shipped and you're speaking to someone on the other side of the counter and 10 people are behind you waiting, that's public speaking. So the truth is we're constantly doing it whether we realize it or not. Every time a waiter or waitress comes up to you and tells you about the restaurant and tells you about the specials, that was a speech. So the truth is we're constantly doing it whether we acknowledge it or not. So the cost is astronomical if we don't develop our skill set.
Yeah, it's interesting. I love your example. Boy, this has been so good that we want to have you back for a second part. Can we do that, Del Toro?
I'd be honored.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about some of the things that people could probably apply right now to take their presentation skills to the next level. As you say, you make such a great point when you're talking about everybody has these fears, and some of them are unfounded, but also the fact that, you know, whether you're a waiter or a waitress, that's a great example, you're still dealing with the public, you're still speaking, and there's just so many, many misconceptions. So this has been fantastic, Greg. We're going to bring Del Toro back for another edition of Forbes Books at Bedtime.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Show Pradeep Berry. He's written a book called My Connie, and it really truly is a love story. It knocked my socks off hearing all about it, hearing about how they met, what happened, Pradeep's background, etc. Pradeep Berry, thank you so much for joining us here on America Tonight.
Thank you very much for your kindness. You know, it is my honor, you know, that you have chosen me to bring on your show.
So tell us about Connie and how you decided to write a book about Connie. How did you meet?
You see, you know, Kate, and good morning, America. You know, miracles happen every day. My, you know, I am convinced that I was, when I was born and when Connie was born, God had already predicted, you know, maybe in my life before, that I'll give you very different circumstances in my life, or my agony, my trouble, every single thing. Just imagine that Connie was born in the United States of America, right in Glenview in Evanston, and I was born in India, And then suddenly, you know, after that, you know, she was a lovely child, you know, of everybody. And same thing was with me. The only difference was that I was 2 months old and my brother was 9 months old when my mother died. And after that, my father married her younger sister, which was my second mother. And she too died after 5 years after having a child, my sister, you know, 2 hours, you know. I remember her death very well. And then later on, my father married the third wife from outside. And her name, you know, she was basically came like a something I could say. Maybe it was better that she came in my life. Because, you know, she was my stepmother. And she refused to accept me and my brother, you know, totally. And she I don't think she ever wanted to see my sister, you know. So my sister was adopted, you know, by my Mehra family, my mother's side. So she was accepted there. And then finally my grandfather, Mr. Lala Durga Prasad Beri, he was a very wealthy man. And his 4 children. And they were, I should not be insulting them, but they were not more than 4th grader, you see. And one of them is still sitting in Chicago. And after that, my grandfather, you know, gave us only one thing, and that was education. Mm. That was only education, and there was no inheritance, you know. After the death of my father, that time, you know, I was highly educated back in India. And there were so many girls, you know, basically my family had decided to marry. And, you know, it was not that I did not want to marry or something, but I said, no, I don't want to marry. And I mean, I had a fight, you know, with my father, you know, with my everybody that, you know, you have to marry. I said, no, I'm not going to marry, because there was a reason for that. And that reason was when I left India on January 15, 1976 with $7. And I was so desperate to go back to India after that, because I was leaving my sister, my brother, and my sister-in-law, and my father and everybody. He was my father. And I cured at that time my stepmother as a mother also too, because I had no choice. And then I came there in Frankfurt. And on the plane, you know, basically, on the plane when I was about to take off from Frankfurt to Chicago, I tried to get up, you know, but I did not have money. So the captain was very nice, and he made my destiny. He told me, Mr. Berry, show me the ticket, you know. I told him, he said, do you know this is a restricted ticket for 2 weeks, for 14 days, how much money you have? I said, $7. He said, Mr. Berry, you will be stuck here, you know, you better land to Chicago. So I landed in Chicago, and next day I wanted to go back, but I had no money. And then later on, I was working for, you know, I had a job offer, but I decided I don't want to work. So I worked for my relative, you know, on 1543 North West Street, Chicago, right across Second City.
Yeah.
And there was a restaurant called Gateway to India Restaurant. And if you remember at that time, Raja Siebert and John Candy and Bluchi Brothers, they become my friends. Second City.
So Pradeep, stop there for everybody listening. So you worked, you had $7, you had a relative that eventually helped you in your Wow, that's a crazy story.
And after $7, I gave $1 tip, you know, when I landed over here, you know, to a poor guy, you know.
Right. And so you worked across from Second City, and you met people like John Candy.
John Candy, I met Bluchi Brothers, I met Raja Siebert, I met there over, because, you know, Raja Siebert used to come there and have a drink, you know, because we had a beautiful bar also.
Mm.
And this was an antique place, you know. It was run by a place, you know, by the lady from the Buddha Pass or Hungary, you know. So she died, you know, and she left all the antiques over there. So the restaurant was beautiful, you see, and, you know, this is called the luck, you know, this is called the fate. Least you expect, sure to come. You know, we were thinking of, you see, basement was a police officer's an antiquary, and they become my friends. And because, you know, I make friends to people can judge, you know, whether he's stupid or what, you know. So the police officer, the Chicago police officer, they owned residences down there. And you know what happened? One of my cousins, you know, came, and he has been living in this country 20 years ago. And he did not even know that had upstairs on the second floor, the third floor, because we had three floors rented, you know. So right. Then over there, there were a lot of antique stuff.
So he said,
Pradeep, throw it, you know.
Right. And so let me stop you, Pradeep, for all the listeners. I want them to know. So we understand it's great you're giving us all these descriptions of what it was like and et cetera. Uh-huh. But let's fast forward because we don't want to waste our precious time.
Right.
I want to
talk
about Connie. Tell me about Connie, meeting Connie.
Okay, and then after that, what happened, you know, there was a girl, you know, he came with me, and she was talking to me, and I am 100% sure she must have told Connie that, you know, you must go and see, because it's time for you to date somebody, you know. So she said, well, I don't know. So then they both came, and I started talking to Connie because I was in my suit and every single thing, and I'm a big talker in any case. So then she was so impressed, and she told me, Pradeep, you know, I cannot believe that you are working in this place, you know, without any money. She said, you know, this is United States of America, and I think your cousin must be paying you. I said, no, he has not paid me so far, you know, because he said that, why do you need money? Because you are staying in the restaurant, you know, you are staying upstairs, you know, you have no electricity to pay, no nothing, anything. And I work all the time, you know, from 6 days. She said, you don't get Saturday, Sunday, you don't get 5 days of work. No, only day I get off is Monday. But sometime on Monday, I also have to do a lot of things. She said, Pradeep, this is exploitation. Here is my number. You come over to my house, and I am going to report, you know, to this thing, and I will make your resume. And I think you deserve better life. This is United States of America. So
wow.
I went to her house, and she was saying that, Pradeep, I am so happy to see you because I did not know whether you are coming or not because I was expecting that at least you will come because tomorrow I am flying, you know, to Boston because I am thinking of going for my another, you know, this admission for Harvard, you know. So she said, I already finished my high school from Glenbrook High School, and then I've been teaching, and I went to Carleton, and I went to University of Michigan, Rhodes Scholar. And then she also told me, Pradeep, I have also taught in Spain and Mexico and in France and Germany also. So she said, you know, in life is not easy. So you should also try to forget about India if you want to. If you want to make your life, you know, if people have to sacrifice. So I said, okay, I agree. So then I went and got a job, you know, and then I finished my MBA 1 year. And before, you know, third time, when we agreed on this thing, I proposed to her, and she said, okay, are you sure you want to marry me? I said, yes. So then we went for blood test, and the next day blood test came fine, and we went to a Wabash Avenue, Adams and Wabash, and bought two wedding rings, and straight went to the court. And got married, you know.
Wow, and you got married. And so also, too, we should say with Connie's help, because she encouraged you, you became an executive senior management consultant in the banking
industry.
Yes,
I studied very hard, you know. I finished my one MBA again. I'm a chartered accountant from India. I'm a college graduate, you know. I was a military NDA. I was a swimming champion. I was an Eagle Scout.
Wow.
And but you see, all that mind, all the thing, because I did not do a damn thing, you know, over there. And I said, I want to be away from this painful atmosphere. So then I just decided, I said, let's think. So then, you know, being on a chartered accountant, you know, American embassy, they were giving green cards also. So
wow.
I had applied, you know, and right away I got the visa, and I said, hell to the steward. So even 800 tickets was not mine. That was paid my cousin, you know, who basically, I should not say, but he sort of exploited me. And then Connie met me, and Connie pulled me out, and that was why Connie. And that is why this important life in my life, it was so important. We were
right.
Two bodies and one love, one
right.
soul.
Right, and so I love that. And if people get the book, they'll learn more about your fabulous love story and how she changed your life in so, so many ways. Pradeep Berry, again, the book is called My Connie. Thank you so much for joining us on America Tonight.
This is the eighth wonder of the book. You know, Shah Jahan made a Taj Mahal in memory of his wife, Mumtaz Mahal.
Yep.
And I made this Taj Mahal for myself now in memory of my wife, Constance Berry. And this is the Taj Mahal, 7th, 8th wonder of the book, you know.
I love that. Thank you, Pradeep Berry, so much.
Thank you very much, Kate.
Love is real. Real is love. Love is feeling.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana has been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is...
the stores I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs believes virtually all disease states can be backtracked to digestive problems.
Deficiencies in stomach acid can affect all downstream systems. Taking digestive enzymes can be amazingly helpful for dealing with deficiencies in stomach acid. Enzymes require low pH for activation. You can also use aloe vera juice, by the way. Sugars in aloe vera have a coating effect on the digestive system. Longevity has a cool product called Noni Plus, which is made from aloe and the noni fruit. It's tasty. It can also function to support digestive acidification of the stomach, and activation of digestive enzymes.
Take pharmacist Ben's advice and support your digestive system by ordering Noni Plus from Longevity. Call 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Mail, letters, papers, and packages delivered by carrier and train and plane, sent and delivered through post regardless of sunshine or rains.
Once again, the America Tonight mailbag is so full, so I don't want to waste any more time. I want to jump right to it right now. And again, thank you so much for all of your emails. First up, Karen. Karen says, Kate, I know you're a baseball fan or a sports fan or whatever it might be. I'm wondering, and I'm probably answering my own question, if you perhaps saw the Astros beat the Dodgers last night, how exciting was that with those home runs at the end of the game? I'm not even a sports fan, but I've tuned in. Well, yeah, you just said it. You weren't even a sports fan, but you tuned into it because it was mega drama. The home run drama made it one of the best all-time ever, which is so crazy. Nobody was hitting anything in the beginning of the game, and then it just blew open at the end. The Astros ended up winning 7-6 in 11 innings, so it took extra innings to make that happen. It was a roller coaster ride. I mean, it really was. So I'm going to say it was incredibly exciting to see the Dodgers come back, and then the Astros come back, and then the Dodgers come back, and the back and forth was, yeah, it was heavy, heavy drama, and there were lots of heroes, but George Springer was the man because he ended up with the bashing the winning home run. It was crazy. 2-1 was the count, and he just slammed the ball, so that was it. So thank you, actually, for throwing that up to me, because I think it was a classic, absolutely. All right, let's dive back into it. This one is from Philip, and Philip says, Kate, the politics of today make my stomach turn. And I say it makes my stomach turn because every day it's as if the worst thing is happening and the sky is falling and henny penny. And I wonder how many people are being turned off to what's really happening in the country. And for that, I feel sad. You remember when you had civics class, you would talk about current events. I wonder if they even talk about current events any longer in schools because it's so cantankerous. You know, that's a great question when you're talking about, like you said, every day it seems like mind-blowing information and massive discord and what's going on in Congress and at all levels of government. I mean, yeah, absolutely. And I have a friend who's got two kids that – I have lots of friends that have children, but I have a friend I'm particularly close to, and her two children are 14 and 12. And talking to them, the kids do talk about politics in the lunchroom, and they – do talk, they don't really talk about it so much in class, but they're talking about it among themselves, and the conversations are interesting to hear their points of view. Trust me, they see the same thing that you say you're seeing again. Craziness. All right, let's move to another one. This one is from Booker. Hi, Kate, America Tonight listeners. Wanted to say hello to all of you. Really enjoy listening to America Tonight, wondering what's going to happen when the president goes to Japan and South Korea. North Korea is a pretty scary thing, and obviously that's going to be heavily discussed on the agenda. Of course it's going to be heavily discussed. You got that. So you've got a senior Korean official issuing pretty much a stern warning to the world that they should take literally, that there's a threat to a nuclear weapon above ground in Pyongyang. They've been working on that, etc. And when we see these missile launches, it is disconcerting. There's no doubt about it. Think about this. In September, Pyongyang flew a ballistic missile over Japan. And North Korea carried out 6 nuclear tests. They claimed to have detonated a hydrogen bomb that could fit on top of a ballistic missile. So this, yeah, not good, of course, at all, and frightening, because we can joke about Kim Jong-un, call him the Rocket Man, as the president has done, and people then make fun of it and all that. But deep down, it is a very tenuous and, yeah, absolutely scary, scary situation. Let's move to another one. This one is from Gloria, and Gloria says, Kate, the situation in Puerto Rico was absolutely frightening to me, and the San Juan mayor, Carmen Cruz, apparently has called a multi-million dollar contract awarded to a small Montana firm to help restore power in Puerto Rico alarming. She says it should be canceled immediately. She said because the process wasn't clear, it wasn't transparent, it wasn't moral, it wasn't ethical. Whitefish Energy is the name of the company you're talking about. I remember that. And it's a newer firm, but there's ties to the Trump administration. So, yes, this is a story that's starting to break and starting to have more of a conversation about that. And so, of course, the mayor is saying it's misplaced and shouldn't happen. And Whitefish posted a statement on its Twitter saying that Whitefish Energy feels that asking for transparency is misplaced. What are they afraid we will find? So, I don't know. It's crazy because the utility company even, I mean, they feel sensitive about it. They say we have 44 linemen rebuilding power lines in San Juan and 40 more men just arrived. Do you want us to send them back or keep working? So now there's a back and forth with Carmen Cruz and this energy company. Don't know where it's going to end up, but wow, crazy. Right, how about this one? This one is from Brad. Kate, coming up on holiday season, you've talked about Jeff Bezos before and people ordering things and how that's the new norm and how we're seeing the malls are closing right and left and more stores are closing. Do you have any statistics on that by any chance? I do have statistics on it. Your timing is impeccable of that email. More store closings have been announced in 2017, first of all, than in any other year on record. So since the beginning of January, 6,700 stores in the U.S. have tanked, have folded. That's according to Fung Global Retail and Technology. It's a retail think tank. That's where they crunched all these numbers. They say it beats what happened previously in an all-time high back in 2008, because remember the financial meltdown, so that made sense. Walgreens helped push that number sadly higher. They announced that they're going to close 600 locations. And other chains, Kmart, Sears, JCPenney's, Banana Republic, Taylor Gap, and Taylor Gap, Michael Kors. Now, some of those have been melded into other companies, but a lot of brick-and-mortar stores are going to close, and for the reason I said, because so many people are ordering online. So by ordering online, they're not, you know, they're not, obviously they don't have brick-and-mortar stores, and people are ordering, they're not going to brick-and-mortar stores, so people are ordering more that way. That's part of the reason why. So the economics of having these stores doesn't make any sense anymore. And it is a big change. Some say in the one way it's good, it's better, it's new, it's what people want to do and think of the space it saves, etc. But on the other hand, think of the jobs it takes. And there's definitely two sides to that equation, you know, absolutely. All right, let's go to another one. This one is from Paul, who says, how about this? Kate, I just saw a poll. You talk about being a poll princess, and I thought I would send you a quick email. I saw a poll about white Americans feeling discriminated against. Have you seen that same poll? I did. The poll was done by NPR and the Robert Wood Foundation and Harvard's Chan School of Public Health, I guess, and they found that the 55% of whites surveyed believe that discrimination against white people exists in the U.S. today. It's the first time I heard that discussed. I mean, not discussed. I'm outside of a poll, that I never saw a poll on this. Among whites, 19% say they have been personally discriminated against because of their race when applying for jobs, while 11% say it occurred when applying to or while at college. 13% of whites say they experienced discrimination when being considered for equal pay or promotion at work. According to NPR, income seemed to affect individual responses to the questions of discrimination. So, wow, that's so interesting. And the poll really dove pretty deep, that more than half of white Americans say there's discrimination against whites, again, because of race. It's interesting, the timing of it, etc. When you think of where polls normally go, I think that's pretty big, really. Applying for jobs, being paid equally or considered for promotion, same thing. Applying to go to colleges, so probably talking about quotas, etc. And again, just wow. All right, last one. This one is from Hal. Kate, how much have we dumped into disaster relief? How much has the Senate approved? It's a big number, $36.5 billion. And they agreed to that earlier in the week, and they're looking for a final vote. And if it gets approved, it would be the second installment of disaster aid for the states and U.S. territories smashed by the hurricanes. Thanks to everybody for all of their fabulous emails, and thanks to all of you for listening to America Tonight.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.